Hello and welcome. This is Sharon bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, July 8th, 2026. We begin our reading, as always, on the front page. This article is entitled Environment, Glorious Days for Gardens and Art. Today, Davis Mansion Festival showcases cultivated beauty. One man's natural gardens, years in the making, and a botanical art show are among new features to see this weekend as the Glorious Garden Festival celebrates 30 years of showcasing the beauty of Central Illinois gardening. The festival, running from 1 to 7 p.m. on Friday, July 10th, and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, July 11th, will feature a garden fair at the David Davis Mansion, 1000 Monroe Drive, Bloomington, with live music and local vendors selling garden-inspired art, plants, and other merchandise. Patrons at the mansion also will be able to tour Sarah Davis's heirloom garden, enjoy story walk in Sarah's garden, and visit community partner tables with art and garden-related activities for kids. In addition to free events at the mansion, those who are interested in seeing 10 selected private gardens all over Bloomington Normal will be able to buy garden walk tickets. Tickets can be purchased online at DavidDavisMansion.org/gardenwalktickets or in person at 6 local businesses. For the first time this year, the festival will host a botanical art show inside of the mansion, featuring 2- and 3-dimensional works in various styles depicting flowers, plants, gardens, wild and cultivated spaces, and pollinators. The mansion's Clover Lawn Museum shop will be open, selling gifts, garden art, books, and Sarah's garden heirloom seeds. The event raises money for the David Davis Mansion Foundation. The state historic site, also known as Clover Lawn, was completed in 1872 as the home of David and Sarah Davis. The jurist was a Supreme Court justice, U.S. senator, and longtime friend and key political supporter of Abraham Lincoln. For the past several years, festival organizers have been itching to feature Chris Sebney's Natural Gardens on the Walk, but Sebney kept saying he wasn't ready. That changed this year. Sebney said that although he's been at his home on Oakbrook Drive in Bloomington since 2002, his garden really took off in 2020 with the COVID-19 pandemic shutdown. I really started putting plants in the yard, getting into researching, and actually learning about all the different species of plants, Sebney said. Through his research, he began learning about native plants and flowers and started reimagining his yard, inspired by his wife, Janelle, who loves flowers. He started with coneflowers and foxglove, beard tongue, and coreopsis. After several years, Sebney said he is now reaping the benefits, noting the first year you plant something that sleeps, the second year you plant something that creeps, the third year you plant something that leaps. Now I'm just trying to piece in other plants into the matrix. I put in probably 30 new species this year. Sebney expressed a feeling of pride when looking at how his gardens have grown and evolved, and a feeling of gratitude for being selected to participate in this year's walk. Laura Bao, another garden walk participant, will be showing off gardens she has helped put together with residents and staff at the Luther Oaks Retirement Community. A landscape committee was started there in 2017, with Bao, a certified master gardener, as one of its founding members. Although their work started out small, the Luther Oaks resident gardeners now have 5 big gardens and a couple of dozen pots. At Luther Oaks, patrons will be able to see mountain pyrus, white weeping spruce, shaded gardens, and full sun gardens. The gardens at Luther Oaks were nominated by Eric Teague, the community's director of marketing, who participated in the Glorious Garden Festival as a corporate sponsor last year. "It's an honor. Our residents are great. Our gardens are great. I think everyone should be able to see them," Teague said. Landscape committee member Nancy Wilkie, who's been on the committee since 2018, said that while there are 6 members on the committee, dozens help with watering or have coordinated the walk. "I was excited to hear we were going to be part of the community," said member Donna Sands, noting she and her fellow Luther Oaks resident gardeners' hard work that has led them there. "The gardening helped residents to feel rewarded not only by seeing the garden's progress, but also seeing the joy the gardens bring to others," residents said. "We see residents from other clinical areas at Luther Oaks come over. They might bring somebody in a wheelchair over to look at the flowers, and they feel good to see that. They smile, so it's rewarding," said Bao. To buy tickets in person, you can visit one of these 6 local businesses: AB Hatchery and Garden Center, Casey's Garden Shop and Florist, The Garlic Press, Growing Grounds Lawn and Garden Center, Luther Oaks Retirement Community, and Wendell Nijpagan Greenhouses and Garden Center. Advance tickets are $20 each, or 4 for $75 for adults, $10 for teens ages 13 to 17, and free for children under 12. Online sales end at noon on Thursday, but tickets still can be purchased up to the day of the event. They will cost $25 for adults and $12 for teens, starting at 1 p.m. on the mansion lawn on the first day of the event. Foundation members also can receive up to 2 discounted tickets for $15 each. You can email programming@daviddavismansion.org for more information. Food and drink. Eatery to be a downtown sweet spot. Bayleaf and Butterscotch is bringing its coffee, pastries, and colorful atmosphere to downtown Bloomington, opening a second location after establishing itself in Pleasant Plains. Owner Taylor Shelbana, 29, opened the bakery and coffee shop in 2025 in the village about 10 miles northwest of Springfield. When she learned the former Sugar Mama bakery space at 109 West Jefferson Street was available, she said the opportunity felt too good to pass up. Shelbana, formerly of Bloomington and now of Pleasant Plains, said she hopes to welcome downtown Bloomington customers the first week of August. Bayleaf and Butterscotch is a place where anyone can feel at home, she said. The Pleasant Plains location is decorated with bright colors and flowers, but she said its appearance doesn't necessarily reflect customer base. The farmers come in, and these are like 70-year-old men just hanging out at Bayleaf and Butterscotch with their coffee and their muffins, she said. To know that they feel comfortable here is freaking awesome. Shelbana said she hopes to create that same sense of belonging in downtown Bloomington. The bakery and coffee shop's slogan is coffee, good vibes, and sweet snacks. And it's become known as a piece of wonder in a dysfunctional world. It's like this really awesome place you can go and just not worry about anything, she said. It's reflected in our decor, where the colors are super vibrant and the vibes are just awesome. Although the two shops will share the same name, Shalbana said the Bloomington location will have its own identity. While the Pleasant Plains shop has a groovy feel, the downtown Bloomington space will incorporate teals, greens, and other earth tones inspired by the surrounding brick buildings. The goal, she said, is to create a cooler, more laid-back aesthetic. The menu will also differ to reflect the Bloomington customer base. She said she plans to adjust offerings based on what customers are looking for and doesn't expect the menu to be finalized when the shop opens. In addition to its sweet baked goods, there will be savory options such as quiche, puff pastry tarts, and savory Pop-Tarts. Their best sellers include their cookie butter s'mores cookie, miso banana bread, and cinnamon rolls. Coincidentally, Jamie Mathey, 52, owner of Red Raccoon Games, which is a block to the east of the new shop, said Bloomington was missing one thing, a truly great cinnamon roll. I don't know that there's anybody in town right now that I would say has an amazing cinnamon roll, Mathey said. That is my weakness, right? It's like an amazing cinnamon roll. Mathey said he and his wife Kelly owned a bakery for 13 years, an experience he described as both difficult and rewarding. While he said he has no plans to return to it, it left him with an appreciation for anyone willing to take on that kind of work. He and the Red Raccoon employees are excited for the bakery to come to town, he said. As geeks, we're big fans of food, sweet food particularly, Mathey said. We're excited to see what they do with the space and taste what they're bringing to Bloomington Normal. Based on his experience as a downtown business owner, Mathey said Bloomington Normal embraces businesses that invest in the community, so he encourages the people at Bayleaf and Butterscotch to find and support local causes they're passionate about. Marcy Buford, 51, a customer shopping downtown on Friday, said she first learned Bayleaf and Butterscotch was coming downtown through a Facebook post. She said she hopes they're innovative and are able to tap into what other bakeries in the area don't offer. I'm excited, she said. I want as many businesses to be in downtown Bloomington as possible. Buford also hopes the bakery will offer gluten-free and dairy-free options, which she acknowledged can be hard to get right. But when it is figured out, it's delicious, she said. Leanne Mason, 57, secretary of the Downtown Bloomington Neighborhood Association, said the organization works to bring downtown residents and businesses together while serving as a collective voice on issues affecting the community. Mason said she's excited to see another storefront filled because empty spaces can create the impression that downtown is losing businesses, when in reality, many vacancies are tied to redevelopment efforts. She said she hopes Bayleaf and Butterscotch's location next to Main Trade, a boutique with a range of vendors and merchandise, draws more people to that corner of the square. Beyond filling a vacant storefront, the bakery could help meet another downtown need, savory breakfast options, Mason said. Pam Eaton, 76, co-owner of Herb Eaton Studio and Gallery, and one of the founders of the Downtown Bloomington Neighborhood Association, echoed this sentiment. She said her children and granddaughter made the same observation when they visited Bloomington. You can't have so many things oversweet. You need to have some herbal, some savory, and so we're hoping that this will help fill that niche, Eaton said. Eaton said she hopes to establish lines of communication with Bay Leaf and Butterscotch early on and help welcome the business into the downtown community. Building relationships with neighboring businesses and getting involved locally will help Bay Leaf and Butterscotch establish itself as a part of the Bloomington community, she said. I'm excited to see something different and unique, Eaton said. That's what Bloomington needs to do. They need to have businesses that are unique and locally owned to get that support. Today's Flick Fact question. In Bloomington Normal, what did Bishop's, Maverick, Sirloin Stockade, Shoney's, Old Country Buffet, and Shooters all have in common? And the answer, they were once among Bloomington Normal's busiest restaurants, all built around one irresistible word, buffet. By about the year 2000, give or take a few years, they were all closing. Like shopping malls, the all-you-can-eat smorgasbord has largely become another local memory. And from the back pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, July 8th, 1926. Circus Day, with its gallons of red lemonade, with its sideshows and clowns to furnish laughs for the grown-ups as well as the kiddies, hit town yesterday. Sleepy-eyed children holding tightly to Dad's hand watched the circus unload at the Chicago and Alton on July 8th, and not a few grown-ups went last night to see the loading-out process. 75 years ago, on July 8th, 1951, the Reverend Forrest Adams, pastor of Pilgrim Holiness Church, not only leads his congregation in worship, but he also helped organize the church in 1944, drew up plans for the new building now under construction, and is helping to build it. Members are doing most of the work themselves. 50 years ago, on July 8th, 1976, the Exchange Club of Bloomington was 40 years old on July 6th. Members celebrated the anniversary at the club's regular Wednesday meeting with cake and champagne. The club was chartered in 1936 with 20 members. Werner Kurth is the only charter member still active in the club. And 25 years ago today, July 8th, 2001, only a small fraction of Illinois State University students use Amtrak when they leave Normal on the weekends. But officials hope high-speed rail will change that. Student traffic patterns on weekends, a survey of ISU students this spring, found that less than 2% of ISU students use Amtrak frequently, compared to 69% who drive their own car, 13% who ride with a friend, 8% who are picked up, and 8% who ride Peoria charter buses. While Amtrak isn't important to student travelers are important to Amtrak. About 40% of Amtrak's passengers using the Normal station are either ISU students or employees. Normal extends Sprague's deal. The Normal Town Council on Monday approved several additional items alongside its larger votes on infrastructure spending, zoning changes, and the town's new strategic plan. Council members unanimously approve amendments to the license and residential lease agreements for the historic Sprague's Service Station at 305 Pine Street. The amendment extends the agreement through May 31, 2027, allowing Terry Ryburn to wind down the Route 66 shop, Ryburn Place, while keeping the property active through the Route 66 centennial celebration. Sprague's Service Station is listed on the National Register of Historic Places and is a designated local landmark. The town acquired the property in 2016 to support preservation and Route 66 tourism. Under the amended agreement, Ryburn is not required to continue operating the gift shop during the extension and may use the premises to close out the business. The town plans to issue a request for proposals in fall 2026 for future use and operation of the property. The council also unanimously approved an ordinance amending the town's tree maintenance rules. The changes update portions of the town code to reference industry standards for tree planting, pruning, and maintenance. The changes are related to a $25,000 urban and community forestry grant awarded through the Illinois Department of Natural Resources and the U.S. Forest Service. The ordinance also revises language related to private trees or shrubs that obstruct streets, sidewalks, or visibility. Under the updated rules, the town may notify a property owner to prune vegetation that creates an obstruction. If the issue is not corrected, the town may do the work and charge the property owner. In another vote, the council approved an appointment to the Bloomington Normal Ashikawa Sister Cities Committee and reappointment to the Connect Transit Board. The council voted 6-1 on the appointments, with council member Kathleen Lorenz voting no. Lorenz did not explain her vote during the meeting. Angie Stegeman will fill a vacant seat for the Bloomington Normal Sister Cities Committee with a term expiring March 31, 2029. Stegeman works as a library specialist at Illinois State University's Milner Library and has volunteered with the Girl Scouts and the Humane Society. The council also reappointed Julie Heil to the Connect Transit Board for a term expiring on June 30, 2030. 1855 Society honors top YMCA donors. The Bloomington Normal YMCA Foundation recently celebrated its inaugural induction of the 1855 Society. A legacy dinner on June 25th at Rob Dobbs Restaurant and Bar brought together supporters, foundation leaders, and community members. The 1855 Society was established to recognize individuals and families whose extraordinary generosity demonstrates a lasting commitment to the YMCA mission and is named in honor of the founding year of the YMCA movement, according to a news release. This evening marked an important milestone for our foundation, said B.J. Wilkin, CEO of the Bloomington Normal YMCA, in a news release. The members of the 1855 Society are helping build something that extends far beyond today. Their generosity creates lasting impact and ensures the YMCA can continue serving our community for generations to come. The inaugural members are as follows: John Robertson, Steve and Nancy Snyder, Jim Shirk, Ed and Sally Rust, Leo and Patty Hermes, Dennis and Cindy Mormon, Robert and Julie Dobsky, Greg and Carolyn Poling, John and Vicki Robertson, Pete and Jan Brandt, Robert Brucker, Kevin and Tricia Hannell, Jim and Debbie Ginsky, Alan Bettel and Deanna Frotchy, Duncan Funk, Carl and Chantel Sneed, John and Megan O'Neill Rogzinski, Larry and Carol Bross. You can visit 1855society.org for more information. 3 place at Special Olympics USA Games. Team Illinois recently returned home from the Special Olympics USA Games, ranking 6th overall in medal count with 54. The 2026 Special Olympics USA Games were from June 20th through 26th in Minneapolis, Minnesota, bringing together 3,000 athletes, 1,500 coaches, 10,000 volunteers, and 75,000 fans from all 50 states. A total of 57 athletes and 16 coaches represented Illinois in the 8 sports at the competition. The official medal count includes 19 gold, 17 silver, 18 bronze, and over 34th through 7th place finishes. Multiple team event medals included unified basketball, unified volleyball, swimming relays, bocce, athletic relays, and bowling. Unified sports represent athletes with and without intellectual disabilities coming together to compete and promote inclusion. Over 20 personal records were also set by athletes on Team Illinois. All 3 athletes from the Bloomington Normal region placed, winning 5 medals at the competition. Those athletes are as follows: Travis Brady of Bloomington won a silver in unified volleyball. Kelsey Ferguson of Normal won a gold in athletics for the 1500 meter and a bronze for the 4x400 meter relay and a bronze in mini javelin. And Tommy Knudsen of Normal won gold in the bocce team event. Congratulations to all those athletes. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, July 8th, 2026. I hope you'll stay tuned.